Begin the current daf and sech, the Shabbos daf mem vav. We begin on mem hey amid beis, two lines from the bottom. The Gemara continues the theme of the previous discussion, which the Gemara over there was talking about, that it was coming to say that we had to tell you Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Yehuda. That is in spite of the fact that there was an incident where a student of Rabbi Yochanan had conducted what seemed to be like Rabbi Yehuda, which was by the case of Menorah that he didn't move it. The Gemara says, no, he could really have held like Rabbi Shimon. That doesn't hold of the broad principles of Muktzah. However, Menorah was different because Kavule Makam. A Menorah has its designated place, and therefore, so to speak, everyone would agree, even if you would hold like Rabbi Shimon, that it's Mekatzah Medaita, so to speak, you set it aside, you're not going to move it. It's something which is established, and therefore the application of Muktzah would apply to it anyways. On that, the Gemara continues the theme and discusses and asks him that if that's really the case, if something has a designated place, that there would be considered Muktzah according to everybody. So the Gemara begins. Amalei Abayla of Yosef, Verukilas Chasan, but regarding the canopy of a bridal bed, the Odom Kaveh Lamokim, where a person designates a place, it's not something that you move around generally. And yet, in spite of that, Shmuel said in the name of Chia, the Kilas Chasan, regarding the canopy of a bridal bed, we continue on to the top of Mem Vav and Mem Aleph, Mutter Lintoisa, Umutter Lefarka B'Shabbos, that's permitted to spread it open and permitted to take it down on Shabbos. And that is the way this canopy was of the bridal bed, was that it didn't have a roof, a tefach. In other words, that there were different poles coming out there, and they were on slopes, and that is it met like a triangle, and therefore it would be sloping on either way. So you didn't have a problem of, so to speak, of binyan or stira, of, so to speak, building a roof or destroying a roof, because the roof has to have at least a tefach of roof, and here they're, so to speak, met, and there wasn't even a tefach of space. So therefore we didn't have a problem about the halacha of oil and regarding building it or taking it down. That wasn't a problem. However, so therefore it says it's mutter, but what we see is that in spite of the fact that it's something that has kavule makam, has a set place where it generally is, and it's not generally moved, and still we say that it's not muktzah, and yet we just said that the menorah is going to be different, and that is you could really hold the kibbutzim, and that there's no halach of muktzah, so to speak, in the broad spectrum of it. However, menorah is different because it has a set place, but yet we see the halach of kilas chasanim, which also has a set place, and still we say you can put it up, take it down, Shabbos, in spite of the fact it's kavule makam, it's not muktzah. So therefore the Gemara says, Elama Abaya gives a different interpretation of why the menorah would be usher according to everybody, and that Rabbi Yochanan could really in principle hold a Rabbi Shimon. However, menorah would be different, and that is until we knew Rabbi Yitzchak's halacha that said Rabbi Yochanan does hold like Rabbi Yehuda, we could have thought he holds like Rabbi Shimon. Menorah is different not because of this concern because it has a set of players, rather for a different reason. And Abaya says, it's talking about a case, Bishal Chulias, that the menorah, this candelabra, is made out of sections. And that is, there's a concern, and maybe it's going to fall, and the pieces are going to come apart. You might come to put the pieces back together, and then you're going to be creating a kli, which is the malach of makah bepatish. And that is why Rabbi Yochanan held that even if you hold it's not muktzah, there's a different problem that we hold it becomes muktzah, because we're concerned you're going to fix it. It might fall, and the pieces come apart. It's something that's made out of sections. You might come to put it back together, and then you're making the kli again, and that's makah bepatish. That's one of the malachas of Shabbos. So then the Gemara asks, my time Rabbi Shimon Lakish Tashari. So what is the understanding of the Rabbi Shimon Lakish who argues on Rabbi Yochanan? And he says that it's only a menorah, a candelabra that, so to speak, needs two hands to carry it. There he agreed to Rabbi Yochanan that a menorah would be muktzah. But if it was be able to be taken with one hand, there he argued on Rabbi Yochanan and says that it's mutter. But if it's made out of sections, why doesn't he have the same concern that Rabbi Yochanan has that maybe it's going to fall and it's going to break, and then you're going to have to put it back together. You're going to be creating a keli. So the Gemara says, we're not talking about a menorah of sections. My chulius, what do I mean by when we say there's a menorah made out of sections? Ki ein chulius, it appears that it's made out of sections. And that is the isbo chitki, that there's grooves. And that is whoever looks, thinks that it's made out of sections, because it's the way it's made, the way it's grooved, it looks like that it's different pieces, but really it's one. And therefore the Gemara says as follows. The machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan is like this. Hilkach, therefore, chulius, ben gedoy leben ketan asur tatla. A menorah that's actually made out of sections, whether it's a big menorah or a small menorah, would be forbidden to move it, as we said, because it could fall, whether it's big or small, and you're going to be putting it back together. You might be on the malacha deiris of makam bepatish. Therefore, we say it's muktzah, you can't go ahead and touch. G'dayla nami disbachitke, and similarly, regarding a big menorah that's not made out of sections, rather it's grooved, but again, it seems like it's made out of sections, there it would be us, according to everybody, gzeru atu g'dayla d'chulis, as a decree, because then a person might come to use a large one made out of sections, and that is since the derech was to make the large menorahs out of sections, so therefore even when it's not sections, it's just grooved, people are going to think that it's sections, and therefore even according to Rish Lakish would be us, as we said before, when Rish Lakish agrees, when it needs two hands to move it, which again is the large menorah, then he would agree that it would be us to move it, because People might confuse it and think that you're allowed to use them in their metadata sections, which we said is aser, because you might come to put it back together when the pieces fall apart.
What was the machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon Lakish that Rabbi Yochanan said it's aser even when it's small, and Rabbi Shimon Lakish said it's mutter when it's small?
That's talking about a small one that has grooves. And there, everybody knows that it's not made out of sections. However, Marsav Gezrin and Marsav Gezrin, Rabbi Yochanan says still the small one that's grooved would still be prohibited because you might come to use a small one made out of sections, and that would be aser because again, even the small one that falls and you put it back together, if it's made out of sections, you can be over on the malacha. The rest of Makar Patah. Rishon Lakish said that we won't make a decree. So the Gemara says it's not like the understanding that Rabbi Yosef had said that we would have thought that he could say like Rabbi Shimon, but Menorah is different because Menorah is something that has a set place. No, that's not a reason. As we see by Chuppas Chasanim, that the canopy is also has a set place, and still there's no mukta. The difference is that here we're talking about a Menorah that's, so to speak, it's small. Yet, it's not made out of sections, but it's grooved, and that was the idea of Rabbi Yechidim, that he held that even that would be aser as a gezeira that you might come to use one that actually is made out of sections, and they were concerned that then you might go ahead and put the pieces back together, which would be the halacha of Makabe Patash. So now the Gemara goes back to what was discussed on the previous daf, that Rabbi Yechidim had said that the halacha is like a Yehuda, to which the Gemara asked him, did Rabbi Yechidim really say this, the halacha is like a Yehuda, which is very machmer, very chamer in the halachas of Muktzah and Shabbos? But Vamir Rabbi Yochanan halacha k'sam mishnah. It's a famous quote from Rabbi Yochanan that he says halacha always follows a stam mishnah, a mishnah that's not attributed to anyone. That halacha Rabbi did that for a reason. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi when he made the mishnahs, and that is the halacha is like that Tana, and it's not. And we learn in the mishnah in Tyrus regarding a coach that's made out of wood. The halacha is muchni shala regarding the wheel of the coach. So bizmashi nishmetis when the wheel is removable in chibula, it's not considered attached to the coach, to the wagon. It's not measured with it, and it's not protected with it regarding the tent of a dead person. For example, if let's say people are on top of the coach and the coach is passing over a cemetery, so then that would be the coach would be considered a separation because it's its own tent in certain it's at certain times and a certain type of measurement. But the wheels would be a different, and therefore if someone's looking over and he's over the wheel but not over the wagon, he would be considered tamei from the graves. And then the Brayse hands off that a person is not allowed to drag the wheel on Shabbos when there's money on the wheel. But the inference is, but if there is no money on the wheel right now on Shabbos, it would be permitted to move the wheel, and that and it sounds like that's in spite of the fact that there was money at some point, that even at the time of Banish Mashes of twilight, that money was on the wheel. If it's not on it right now, then you'd be able to move it because it's not considered part of the wagon, it's considered its own movable item. And therefore, that's in spite of the fact that you would say migudiskatsoy bin ashmashes, that once something is muktzah for the time period of bin ashmashes, it's muktzah the whole entire day. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. And yet, this Stam Mishnah says that no, even though it was on, the money was on a whole bin ashmash, the whole twilight, now, sometime during Shabbat, it's not on, you're allowed to move it. That's like Rabbi Shimon. And this Stam Mishnah that's not attributed to anyone seems to be saying like Rabbi Shimon. So how could Rabbi Yehuda say Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda when this Stam Mishnah in Tyrus is saying like Rabbi Shimon? That in spite of the fact that there was money bin ashmashes, there's no money on it now, therefore you could move it. So you have to say that our Mishnah is talking about over there that there was no money on the wheel the entire bin ashmashes, like Rabbi Yehuda. Said we shouldn't break the words of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is, we have to say that the wheel that we were discussing, when it said that if there's no money on it, it's permitted, it meant that if there was no money on it the entire period of bin ashmashes. And the inference is as follows, that the reason is that when there's money on it, when the Shabbos started, when it was there during Bein HaShemashes, then it's aser the whole entire Shabbos, because that's the principle of Migud Diskatsoy Bein HaShemashes, that once it's muktzah during the time of twilight when Shabbos was starting, so then it's muktzah the whole entire day. But if the money's not on it when Shabbos started, then it's permitted. That is like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. That is, although it sounds like the way the Pashas, the way the simple reading would be, that would sound like Rabbi Shimon, we have to make it the interpretation that when it says that if it's not on the money, it doesn't mean not on money right now, but it wasn't on it, Bein HaShemashes, to say that it's going like Rabbi Yehuda, because or else Rabbi Yochanan would be challenged, that Rabbi Yochanan on the one hand says like the halachas like Rabbi Yehuda, and whereas this Stam Mishnah sounds like Rabbi Shimon, so therefore we have to say that even that Stam Mishnah was going like Rabbi Yehuda, and it meant that there was no money Bein HaShemashes, and that's why it's mutter, but if it would have been there Bein HaShemashes, then it would be us the whole Shabbos, as Rabbi Yehuda holds. So the Gemara says, Omri Bishu ben Levi, Pamachas holach Rebbe l'diusfer. One time Rebbe went to this place, l'diusfer, v'hoira, and he gave the following instructions. B'menoira k'reb Shimon b'ner. That regarding a candelabra like Reb Shimon, as he says, by a lamp.
So Ibarilhu, they asked the following question. It wasn't clear, this instruction, what he said. Was it one instruction? And he was saying that the halacha by a candelabra is permitted to move it, just like Rabbi Shimon says it's permitted to move a used lamp. And that is because he doesn't hold of the broad principle of Muktzeh Machmas Mias, that even though it was a used lamp, you're allowed to move it. Similarly, it would be permitted to move a candelabra. Or maybe he was giving two different instructions. And that sentence has to be split into two. That he was saying regarding a candelabra, that is prohibited, as we mentioned before, by a grooved candelabra, that because we make a gzera that you might come to use a candelabra made out of different sections. And regarding a ner, regarding a lamp, there he said Allah Rabbi Shimon that it's mutter, and that we don't have the problem of muktzeh machmas mias. As the Gemara says, was he instructing that regarding there was one statement that a candelabra is permitted, like Rabbi Shimon holds a used lamp is permitted, that candelabra would be the same thing. Maybe that it was two parts this sentence. That he instructed regarding a candelabra, that's prohibited, as we said, because we're concerned you might come to use one made out of sections. And then there was a second half of that statement, that Allah is like Rabbi Shimon regarding a used lamp, that it's permitted, and that we don't hold the broad understanding of muktzeh machmas mias, that's not considered so disgusting if it was already used once, the lamp, and therefore there would be mutter, but the other case of a candelabra would be also. And the thing, what does this take? It's not clear. So again, when he said the statement in the name of that of name of Rebbe, that b'menorah, k'reb Shimon b'ner, if it was one statement and that it's all mutter, or it's two statements and menorah is aser and a used ner is mutter like k'reb Shimon, so it's not clear. The Gemara brings a few different stories related to how the different Amiram were noig, if they were noig like Reb Shimon, that a lot of muktzah is mutter, or like Reb Yehuda, that it's aser. Says Reb Malkia, ikla lebe Reb Simloi. Reb Malkia went to the house of Reb Simloi, but tilta shraka, and he moved the lamp, and that is one say that it was already extinguished. That was like Reb Shimon. Ve'ikba Reb Simloi, and Reb Simloi objected, and that's because he held like Reb Yehuda. Similarly, the Gemara brings the story, Reb Yehuda Galila, ikla la'aser, Reb Yehuda Reb Chanina. Basically, he went to the place of Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. Tilta Shraga, he moved the lamp. Ve'ikbet Rabbi Yisrael Chanina, and he was upset. He objected because again he held like Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara brings interesting that Rabbi Avo ki ikla la'asir Rabbi Shimon Levi, when he would go to the place, to the locale where Rabbi Shimon Levi was the Rav, have metalta Shraga, then he would move a lamp. That is because Rabbi Shimon Levi held, as we mentioned in the previous daf, like Rabbi Shimon, that it's mutter once it goes out. When he went to the place where Rabbi Yechanan was the Rav, he wouldn't move the lamp because Rabbi Yechanan held like Rabbi Yehuda that holds his usher to move a lamp. Rosh Gemara says, Mamshach. Either way, it's difficult to understand this. If Rabbi Yehuda's relay, if Rabbi Avo held like Rabbi Yehuda, let him do like Rabbi Yehuda, and never move a lamp. If Rabbi Shimon's relay, he held like Rabbi Shimon, so let him do like Rabbi Shimon and move the lamp. So why, when he went to one Rabbi, did he do one way and the other Rabbi did the other way? So I think Masai Loyam Kirb Shimon similar. And really in truth, he held like Kirb Shimon. And because if he held like Rabbi Yehuda, that would be Aser, he wouldn't move a lamp in the honor of Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi to do an Isser, even though Rabbi Yehuda ben Levi held that it's mutter. So obviously he held like Kirb Shimon that it's mutter. You can move a lamp once it's extinguished. However, but because of the honor of Rabbi Yehuda, who held like Rabbi Yehuda, when he came to his place, then he wouldn't move it as Rabbi Yehuda did. But he himself held that it's mutter to move it. Now the Gemara returns to the discussion that we had discussed in the previous dafim, muktzeh machmas mias, regarding something that's it's set aside because it's so disgusting that you don't plan on using it, and therefore it has halacha like muktzeh. So the Gemara discusses this. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, shraga de mishcha shari l'taltula, an oil lamp, it's permitted to move it, and that is once it's extinguished, as Rabbi Shimon holds, because it's not so disgusting, and that's like Rabbi Shimon, who holds a very lenient interpretation of muktzeh machmas mias, that it doesn't hold that it's a problem, although the oil lamp, it was used already, and therefore it's a little bit disgusting. However, it's not so disgusting, and it's not totally set aside from a person's mind. Therefore, you're allowed to move it for whatever purpose you need to use it for. However, the nafta asl tatula. However, if it's the nafta lamp, then it's prohibited to use, even according to Rabbi Shimon, he would agree, because it's so disgusting. This nafta has such a bad smell that it gets so disgusting, and so therefore it's only fit for what it's used for and nothing else. And therefore, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it's muktzeh, and the person sets it aside from his asr of ever using it. However, Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, they both say that no, even Rabbi Shimon would hold that even the nafta, it would be permitted to move it. So the Gemara brings a story, and within that will come an interpretation of why they say that it's permitted to move it if it's so disgusting. What are you going to use it for? So the Gemara says, Rav Avya ikla lebei Rava. Rav Avya went to the house of Rava. Have me'isin be'kari betina. So his shoes were soiled with mud. Asivi apur yikamid Rava. Yet he put it on the bed in front of Rava. So Sigmar says, Ikbid Rava. Rava was upset. He was making the beds all dirty. So Boy Litzir, he wanted to unsettle, he wanted to
so to speak, bother him, so to speak, with questions because of what he was doing. So Amalei, my time, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Dama Tavayu, Shraga de Nafta, Namishal Tatuli. So he asked him, why is it that Rabbi and Yosef both said that a lamp with, made out of nafta is also permitted to move it? It's disgusting. Even Reb Shimon should agree that it's awesome. So Amalei, Hoyle v'chaz l'chasui b'mon. He says, the reason is because since it's fit to cover a vessel with it, you're right, no one's going to use it and put food inside or whatever it is, but you can use it to cover a vessel. And therefore, that's why it's not muksa, because it's still usable. So, but then he asked him, Elamiata called Tsurisha Bachatsa Metaltlan. So then all the stones in the yard you should be able to move. However, Chazlech Sribimana, since it's fit to cover any vessel, why? And all, everyone agrees the stones are us, so why? You should be able to use it to cover it. It's just as fit as this nair of nafta. So Malay says, no, it's different. Ha, this case of nafta, Ikater is Kalila. It has a status of a vessel. It's just disgusting. However, once it's still fit to use it for something, therefore it retains its status of a vessel. Hani lekatar is clear, but these, the rocks, the stones, it doesn't have the status of a vessel. And therefore, that's like similar to the category of muktzah machmas guva, that inherently has no purpose. It's not fit for anything. And therefore, although you can go ahead and cover a vessel with it, but it's not a status of a vessel in the first place. And therefore, even there, Reb Shimon would agree that it's muktzah, and that's different in the case than the case of nafta. As he says, because Mila Tanya didn't learn the braisim, we continue on to Amud Beis, that Hashirim regarding bracelets of Hanazam and nose rings about the boys and rings, they're like all different vessels that could be go ahead and moved around in the yard. And that is that although it was prohibited for people to go out with these jewelry into Rosh Hashanah, to the public domain, as the Gemara says later on in the New Testament days, because that's the decree that someone might come to take off their jewelry and show people, look at this ring I have, look at this earring I have. However, it still has a status of a vessel, and therefore you're allowed to move it around in the yard as long as you're not wearing it. Because wearing it, we're concerned that you might walk out into the street with it, and then we're concerned you're going to take it off to show people what you have. And Ula says, what's the reason? Why aren't these bracelets and these nose rings, why aren't they muktzah? And he says, but since this has a status of a vessel, these are things that are used, and therefore it's not like a rock, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and move around the yard. So here also regarding this nair of nafta, this lamp of nafta, although it's disgusting, but since it has a status of a vessel already, and it's still usable for covering a vessel with it, therefore it's not muktzah, but that's different than just rocks or pebbles are in the yard, where there it doesn't have a status of a vessel at all. That would be muktzah even according to Reb Shimon. So the Gemara comments as an afterthought on this story, that Amar Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, Baruch Rachmana dule kesifri Rav al Rav Avi. Hashem should be blessed that he didn't allow Rav to embarrass Rav Avi, and that his Rav Avi had a response to the question that Rav had. And that's what the Gemara comments on this story. So the Gemara now brings in sort of two different contradictions posed regarding the sugya of muktzah. Romili Abaye al-Rabbah. Abaye asked the following contradiction to Rabbah. On the one hand, Tanya learned the Braisa, Moisra Hashemit Shebenei V'Shebekara Aser. Regarding the leftover oil that's in the lamp and in the plate, which they used to have with oil inside of it, that's Aser, that's prohibited from using. Reb Shimon says it's Mutter, because once whatever was done, the light, the flame went out, so it's okay. So therefore, Amalei Reb Shimon, Elasli Muktzah, as we've been saying in the previous dafim, Reb Shimon obviously does not hold of this broad spectrum of Muktzah, that so to speak, once it goes out, it's okay. Why shouldn't you be able to use the oil? However, Vermin, I'll pose you a contradiction as follows. It says, Reb Shimon Oimer, Kol She'ein Mumay Nikar Me'ev Yom Tov. Reb Shimon says that any animal that the blemish is not recognizable from Erev Yom Tov, and this is discussing regarding a Bechor, regarding the firstborn animal which has to be given over to the Kohen, it's not fit to be used. However, if there's a mum, then you can go ahead and check that it's a regular chul and it can be slaughtered. However, if it's not recognizable from before Yom Tov, so then Reb Shimon said, Ein Zeh Menamuchan. That's not considered prepared because you thought that it had to be, so to speak, it cannot be used for mundane purposes. You didn't know it had a mum. So therefore, although it had one, now in Yom Tov, first time you recognize it, it's not considered prepared. And therefore, obviously Reb Shimon has the application of muktzah because what is this? It's a regular kosher animal that you could use. It's chulin, it's mundane, it has a mum, so why can't you go out and shecht it? He says, because you didn't recognize an Erev Yom Tov. So obviously he holds to the principle of muktzah. So how can we say over there that he doesn't hold to the principle of muktzah? So the Gemara says, Hachi Hashta, can you compare the two cases? Hasim over there by the case of the leftover oil. The reason why it's not muktzah is because Odim Yeshiv Mitzapa Imaseta Chabanera. Person sits and he anticipates and he waits. When is the light, the fire is going to go out? And therefore he never separates it from his das. Again, the concept of muktzah means that it's separate. It's set out from a person's mind, and that you don't have there because he's waiting for it to go out. It's not going to last the whole Shabbos. So therefore, he wants to use the oil. However, over here, Odim Yeshiv Mitzapa Mosa Yipel B'Mum. Do you think a person's sitting and waiting? When is his animal going to develop a blemish? It's not the case because Meima Amar Miyemid Enafu B'Mum. He's going to say, who said that my animal's going to develop a blemish?
You can't inflict it yourself. So therefore, what are the chances? And even if you can say that my animal will develop a blemish, who said that it's going to develop a permanent blemish? If it's just a temporary blemish, it doesn't qualify for a mum, and that you could be able to shecht it as chul. And even if you're going to say that possibly all these different circumstances are going to happen and it'll develop a permanent blemish, who said that a sage, an expert, is going to get involved in this? And that is, who said I'm going to find the sage that will get involved in Yom to see and to qualify that this is an established blemish or not, because it doesn't qualify as chul until a sage says so. So therefore, he's not waiting, and therefore that is definitely considered muktzah according to Reb Shimon. So it's not a contradiction what and when Reb Shimon holds muktzah. Something like a oil, leftover oil, of course he doesn't hold this muktzah because he's waiting for that. It's not set aside from his das. Whereas here, he's totally pushed it out of his mind, and therefore even there Reb Shimon would agree that it's going to be muktzah. However, the Gemara asks on this teretz that the Gemara gave to understand the opinion of Reb Shimon, Masav Rami Bar Chama. We learned in the Mishnah later on in Masechet Shabbos, Mefirin Nedarim b'Shabbos, that we can annul vows on Shabbos. That is, you can go, that a husband can go ahead and annul the vows of his wife. And similarly, v'nish'ol Nedarim shein l'tzarech Shabbos, and we could seek the release of vows that are necessary for Shabbos. That is, you can go to a chacham, a sage, that he could go ahead and permit it. For example, let's say when someone made a neder, a vow that he's not going to eat today, which that's obviously a tzarech Shabbos, that you should be able to eat on Shabbos, v'yitz in the midst of oinig Shabbos. And therefore, then you're allowed to go to a chacham, and he could annul your vow. So the Gemara asks, "Vamai, why is it permitted to eat this food? Even when you get the vow annulled, even if the husband makes it mutter or the sage does it, but it should be also because of muktzah. Because this wife, she totally was masichta, she totally pushed it out of mind. She said, I can't eat because I made a vow. And who said my husband is going to come and annul my vow? As we said before, who said a sage is going to get involved? An expert is going to go ahead and get involved. Why is it any different? As the Gemara says, Lema miyimidim is dakla bal. Let us say that she's saying, who said my husband is going to get involved? And therefore she, so to speak, sets it out from her mind, just like we said regarding the Bukhara, that who said a sage, an expert, is going to get involved in Yom Tov. And then the Gemara says, no. Hasim kidrav pinchas mishmei dirava. Damra pinchas mishmei dirava. Kalanei deres adas bailin deres. Whenever a woman makes a vow, she does it with the intention that her husband has to give consent for the vow. And that is, she's only making it if her husband agrees to it, and she's relying on that. And therefore, her husband's going to get involved on the day that he hears it, and that is the idea, that he can go ahead and be mefer on Shabbos, and it's going to, on Yom Tov, and it's going to be mutter, because it's something that she expected that he's going to get involved. And she only makes it with that in mind, and that he has the, so to speak, that power to veto it, he could be mefer, and therefore it's different than this, so to speak, just a random sage getting involved. Here, her husband, she makes it with that intention, therefore it's not out of mind. However, the Gemara asks from the Sefer, from the next statement, Tashma, we learned over there, we said, Nishon l'nadar mishal tzarech ha-Shabbos b'Shabbos, that we could seek a release for vows that were made from a sage if it's necessary for Shabbos. To which the Gemara asks again, Vamaya, why is that? Lema miyemer demizdak le'chacham. Here it's not a wife with a husband. Who said that a sage is going to get involved and go ahead and annul your vow? The person would say, who said he's going to get involved? I'm going to get someone. He's going to, so to speak, he's busy with his shiurim and his suit, his Shabbos, and Yom Tov, but he's not going to come to me. And why do we say that it's not going to be muktzah to eat the food? That the Gemara says it's still different. Hasma with ibay nedarim iloy mizdakik lechacham, because even if a sage does not get involved in his vow, sagile begimel hadaitis, it's enough with three laymen and they can also annul the vow. Hacha, but over here by the bechor, by the firstborn animal, miyemin mizdakik lechacham, who said that an expert's going to get involved? And that is, laymen are not permitted to, so to speak, say that the bechor is mutter to eat. That's only by, so to speak, a mum, by a blemish that's known to everybody. For example, if it's missing a limb, then three laymen are good enough. But for anything that requires more of a professionalism, then even three laymen won't work, and you need to have an expert. And therefore, that's again, as we said, that by Bukhar, he's masich das, because who said an expert's going to get involved? Whereas these other cases, people, they don't push it out of mind, because here the husband's going to get involved, and here I can get three laymen, they can do it for me, and therefore it's not masich das, and therefore the food, once the vow is annulled, will not be muktzah. Now the Gemara continues on to a different contradiction. Rami Le Abayah, Rabbi Yosef Abayah posed the following contradiction to Rabbi Yosef. Mi Amar Rabbi Shimon. Did Rabbi Shimon really say, as we quote on Memdal and Amar Aleph, we had brought this statement from Rabbi Shimon, that Kavsa Mutlo Tatla, Rabbi Shimon said, that once the fire is extinguished, then it's permitted to move this lamp. So the inference is, Kavsa in Lo Kavsa Loi, that once the lamp goes out, it's extinguished, then it's permitted to move. But until it goes out, even Rabbi Shimon would agree you can't move it. My time, or what's the reason?
Dilma b'hadid nenakir l'kavtzer, because maybe once you're holding the lamp and the fire is burning, maybe you can extinguish it as you're moving it. But the Gemara asks, that was the reason we had given that. But Hashemina later, Reb Shimon Dama Dav Hashem Eskaven Muter, we had already learned a different halacha of Reb Shimon that he says that something that's not intended is permitted. The Tanya has learned in the Braisa, Shimon Omer Goyer Adam Kisei Mita Esafsel, that Shimon says a person is allowed to drag on the ground, on the earth, a chair, a bench, and a bed. As long as he does not intend to make a ditch, as he's pulling it, he's so to speak doing what the malacha of chayrish, of digging. And that is as long as he doesn't intend to, although that's going to happen, it won't be over Isr malacha deraisa of chayrish. And therefore, if malacha shen miskaven is mutter, here also a person is not intending to extinguish the flame when he's so to speak carrying and moving around with it. He's not intending, he just wants to move it. So that even if it goes out, you didn't do anything wrong, just like you're allowed to pull the bench, even though you might be doing, you might be doing chayrish. So therefore, why is it any different? Why over there does he say it's mutter, and over here he says it's aser? So the Gemara says, because it depends. Kol heicha dechimechav enike isru deraisa, wherever when you would be intending to do the malacha, then you'd be over on isru deraisa, biblical isru. So then, kile mechav en gozer b'shem d'rabbanan. Then, even when you're not intending to do it, then Rabbi Shimon said that midrabban it's asa to do it, and that was the case over here with the candle lamp, with the lamp that when it's lit you can't move it because although you're not intending to do it, but if you intended to do it, you'd be over is the rest of keep of extinguishing it. So even when you're not intending to it, we would geizer midrabban that you can't move it, even if it's going to be enem eskaven. However, kol heicha dechim chaven ikis midrabanan. But in such a case where even when you would be intending to do this malacha, the most you'd be able to be is midrabanan kila mechaven shari Rabbi Shimon leketchila. And therefore, in that case, where you did not intend, the Rebbe Shimon would say it's mutter even like a tchil to go ahead and do it. And that's the case of the charetz. Again, because by the candle, the extinguishing would be a malacha d'iraisa. But here, when you're making the ditch, there's not, even if you intended to do it when you're dragging the chair, it wouldn't be aves d'iraisa. Because that's what's called kalacha yad, it's doing it in an indirect way. As the Gemara says that chayfer, that's a tolda of chayrish, it's a tolda of plowing. That's only if you chayfer gedarka, if you do it as the way it's usually done, which is with the certain utensils and the tools that you're usually done with, and with a hoe or with a shovel, whatever it is. Well, here you're doing with a bench. The most, even if you did it with intending, would be is a malacha d'rabbanan. So therefore, when you're not intending to do it, when it's enem eskaven, you're just pulling, dragging the bench because it's too heavy to pull. Then Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter l'ketchila, and therefore that's the difference between the two cases. That although he says the davish enem eskaven is mutter, that's only totally mutter by the case of the bench when even you intended it would be a malacha d'rabbanan. But here, by the case of the lamp, where if you intended it would be a malacha d'raisa, there even when you're not intending it, Rabbi Shimon agrees that it is usher at least midrabanan. So the Gemara asks on this concept that we just said, Masav Rav, Rav asks from the Mishnah Klein. We learned that Meichri Ksus, that the garment sellers, Meichri and Kedarka, they're allowed to sell their garments as they usually do. And that is, even if it's made out of Klein, which is shatness, made out of wool and linen, you're allowed to put it on to show it off in the street, in the market, that people should see what it looks like, although you're wearing shatness. However, as long as you do not intend, that is in the summertime to protect yourself from the sun, in the wintertime to protect yourself from the cold, from the rain, and that is to have the enjoyment, the pleasure of warming it up. So obviously this is going like Reb Shimon that says that it makes a difference what your kavan is, what your intent. That is, if it's enim eskaven, if you're not intending for the iser, then it's going to be mutter. However, the Mishnah ends off, that those who are the modest ones, the ones that are very machmer in their ways of halacha, what they won't even wear the garment, even though it's mutter, and they'll put it on the stick behind them. And therefore, the question is, here, if you would intend when you're wearing this garment of shatness, then you'd be over malacha, you'd be over isur deraisa, because shatness is isur deraisa, and still kilo mechaven shor yishim leketchila, and still in spite of that, if you're not intending to have the pleasure from it, Rabbi Shimon says it's mutter, you're allowed to go ahead and put it on the ketchila. And there is no isur d'rabbanan. That seems to go in, so to speak, fly in the face of what we just said, that Rabbi Shimon says it's only mutter when it's enem eskaven, when the most would be isur d'rabbanan. Yet here, shatness would be isur d'raisa if you're enjoying it. And he says, if you're not enjoying it, you're not mechaven for that, then it's totally mutter. So therefore, the Gemara says a different pshat. Elam Rava, rather Rava says, we continue at the top of Mem Zayin Amad Aleph, Hanach l'ner shem and besilam, you should leave alone the case of the lamp and the oil and the wick. And that's because that's a different reason. That's hoil the nasa bosses l'davar asr. That's because it becomes a base for something that's asr. That's for the flame. And that is because that's how it becomes mukta. There, Rabbi Shimon would agree that there the vessel becomes a tov, becomes secondary to the flame that's on it.
And therefore, it's not because we're concerned that you're going to extinguish it, and therefore we had this whole discussion about why we're concerned. It's Dabba Shein Meskaven, and Rabbi Shimon says Dabba Shein Meskaven is Mutter, and therefore we wanted to differentiate, say that, oh, when did he say Dabba Shein Meskaven is Mutter? Only if the Moser would be a Durabanan, but Dairaisa, then he is concerned, so the Gemara says no. Dabba Shein Meskaven, even if it would be a Dairaisa, if you're not Mechavim, Shimon says it's Mutter. Here it's for a different reason why the case of the oil of and the wick, that there's going to be a so to speak, a Isra of Mukta on it even afterwards. Whereas the case over here that we're talking about, that we said that the once it's, when the fire is still on it, then it's going to be muktzah. That's because it's a base. It's so to speak, we see it as one big flame, and that flame, of course, that's muktzah. That's totally iser according to everybody to move, and therefore we view it as secondary to it. There, Reb Shimon is going to agree, but it has nothing to do with a concern of, so to speak, of putting it out, because that's a davish and meskaven. And here's where the famous halacha of basis is, that once it's so to speak secondary to the main idea, which is it's all providing support for the flame, which is what we want it for. Therefore, we view it as one big flame, and therefore, when it's on fire, although you're moving the candelabra, even Rav Shimon would agree that it's going to be muktzah.